Isaiah 38, go there with me. We tried to hit a lick on this last Sunday morning, and y'all about preached me in the ground. And I wanna try to get it out if the Lord will help us again today. Boy, I appreciate the good services the Lord's been giving to us. And man, if you wasn't here on Wednesday night, we had an absolute grand and glorious time in the house of the Lord. And amen. Preaching about the word of God in the work of grace. We didn't make it out of the first point, and I mean just about exploded in this place. I'm glad the sun got up again this morning. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Making its circuit like it always does. The faithfulness of our great Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and bless His name for it. All right, Isaiah 38. If you will stand with me this morning, and it'll take me a minute. I haven't that old sinus drainage and stuff. Amen. If you're real proper, it's sinus drainage. And if you're redneck like we are, it's just, man, I got a bunch of snot going down my throat. Amen. And so, however, you'll understand whatever we're saying today. Isaiah 38, visitors, thank you for being here. And you probably passed a lot of churches to get here. You could have stopped at any of them and been doing a lot of other things. We're glad you're with us this morning. And we trust you've already received a blessing, and trust the Lord to speak to your heart from His Word this morning. Verse number 1, Isaiah 38, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. For sake of time this morning, jump down to verse 17. And we'll be preaching primarily this morning from verse 17 down through the end of the chapter. The Bible said, behold, this is Hezekiah speaking now to the Lord. He said, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. Here's the phrase we're centered in upon last week and then this morning. The Bible said, the Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. Father, we come to you this morning one more time asking your blessing upon the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, we're glad we're in God's house. And Lord, we're thankful for the good songs that have been sung this morning. Lord, just singing about Calvary, opening the service today. Lord, singing about Calvary and the difference it's made in our life. Thank you for mercy and grace that runs free. Lord, from that old rugged tree today, Lord, we bless your name for it. And then, Lord, the choir and the youth choir and the special singing today, our hearts have been stirred and excited, Lord, about your blessings and your goodness and your grace. I pray now, Lord, help me now, Lord, for the next few moments to preach all that you'd have me to preach and to say all you'd have me to say and to be wise, Lord, to leave unsaid and untouched those areas, Lord, you don't want dealt with today. Father, I pray especially for the lost that are in our midst again, that you'd deal with their heart, convict them. And Lord, may today be the grand day they get saved by the grace of God. Help us, Lord, loose our tongue. Help us to preach. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Isaiah 38, according to verse number 1, deals with King Hezekiah. If you study his life, you're going to find And Hezekiah was one of the great kings of the people of God in the Old Testament. A background behind this chapter deals with Hezekiah has sinned a sin against God, and God has sent a word through his prophet Isaiah. That word is said in verse number 1, "Set thine house in order, thou shalt die and not live." We believe according to verse number 3, and in study of the background of the life of Hezekiah, that Hezekiah was a man that was saved, a man that loved God, and a man that knew God. Hezekiah, I believe, was a man that had for the most part lived his life for God. He sins his sin and God begins to deal with it. And when we come to Isaiah 38, I see a picture of a man that we know is saved, but what's going on in this chapter, I believe, is a picture of a lost man. Notice with me in verse number 1, we can outline this chapter in verse 1. We see the sickness of Hezekiah. The Bible said in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. He's got a sickness in his body. There's something going on the inside. He didn't know about it. He didn't understand it all, but amen, the man of God comes and tells him that and he has sinned and that there's something on the inside of him that's going to kill it. And I say he had an incurable sickness and is headed for and facing certain death. My friend, we find there in this sickness of Hezekiah the picture of a sinner today. Every man, woman, and boy, and girl under the sound of my voice today, I was born in sin. You was born as healthy as you may have been physically, spiritually, you was born with a sickness of sin on the inside. You may not have known it, my friend, but there's no doctor in town that could cure it. There was no medicine you could take to get rid of it. And my friend, you had a sickness in which you was headed to and facing certain death. Is that not a picture of the sinner today? If you're here today and you're lost, there's nothing you can do about it. My friend, you're going to die in your sin and you're going to go to hell as sure as I'm standing here today. In ourselves, there is no hope. Amen. No preacher can make any better. And joining the church ain't going to take it away. And being baptized, I won't wash it out of your veins. But and I say we see the sickness of Hezekiah, but also see the supplication of Hezekiah in verse number 2 and in verse number 3. Amen. I love this. The Bible said, "Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord." A man of God comes and says, "You're sick and you're in trouble with God and you're going to die and there's nothing you can do about it." And my friend, listen, in that, I mean, he loses all help. He loses all hopelessness. And then Hezekiah said, "Well, if Isaiah can't help me and the doctor can't help me and my mama can't help me and my daddy can't help me, I'm going to pray to the Lord and trust and he'd be the only one that can help me in this situation." And I say today that he has said, my friend, that Hezekiah turns to the only one who can touch him and cure him of his disease. And that's the only hope and help a sinner has today, is that they turn their face to the Lord and call upon the Lord. Amen. The Bible said in the end of verse 3, "And Hezekiah wept sore." That is, my friend, he exercised repentance that day. He told God how sorry that he was. He was broken over his condition. And my friend, he looked to God, the only one who could deliver his soul. And can I remind you today that the New Testament said there's one mediator between God and men, a man, Christ Jesus. There's only one way to be saved. Amen. There's only one that can get you out of the mess of sin that you're in. And Hezekiah reflects to you on that. And when sinners get to the end of their rope, and thank God they can turn to God and turn from their wicked way and call on
on God, and God will hear them. And God is the only one that can do anything about this matter of sin in our lives. We move from the sickness and supplicates out to verse 4 down through verse number 22. We fed the salvation of Hezekiah. A word comes to him. The man of God gets up and says, "You've got a problem, Hezekiah, and you're going to die." Hezekiah said, "If there ain't no help in nobody else, I'll go to the Lord and maybe He'll help me." And when the story's over, Hezekiah said that the Lord had delivered him, that the Lord had rescued him, that the Lord listened. Amen. Hadn't listened to verse 9 already of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Hezekiah said, "I was in a mess." And a man of God got up one day and told me the truth about what was on the inside of me. All I knew to do was turn to God. And when I turned to God, He recovered me of my sickness. He said in verse number 17, and He delivered his soul. And in verse number 20, He said, at the end of it all, the Lord was ready to save me. And I say, thank God. And we find here that God reaches down and delivers Hezekiah from the disease and death that he faces. According to verse number 20, Hezekiah calls what God did for him salvation. And I know he's a saved man, but he's a picture of a lost man in what the Lord can do for sinners, even in this hour in which we live. We didn't get off this right here last week, but the phrase, "The Lord was ready to save me," if you'll study it out, it implies three truths. I'll not re-preach it all. I'll just throw it out. We noted last week, and it implies the Lord was watching to save. When he said the Lord was ready to save me, that is, long before I realized I was sick, long before the man of God told me I was sick, long before I was headed to death, he said the Lord was ready. He was watching to save me. Can I say today that you may have walked in, you think you're here by accident? Can I say the Lord is ready to save you? The Lord has been watching you. He watched when you got up this morning. He watched when you, amen, was getting dressed. He watched when you got in your car. He watched over you as you drove here. He watched you when you walked in the door. He watches you where you sit this morning. And the Lord is ready to save you. You say, "Preacher, you don't know me." Can I say today? And the Lord does know you, and He's watched you. He's seen everything you've done. He's heard everything you've said. He knows everywhere you've been. And yet the Lord is watching. He's ready to save you where you are right now. Amen. You know what? And I said I wasn't going to preach it, but I might have to preach it again. I'm glad the Lord was watching to save me. For 17 years of my life, amen, all the sin I was in, all the services I set up, all the way I lived my life, the Lord had His eye on me, and the Lord was ready to save me. This phrase not only means the Lord was watching to save, but it means the Lord was willing to save. I mean, Hezekiah's messed up. He's done something he shouldn't have done. He's sinned and transgressed against God. And yet he found in the end of it all, after the message had been preached, after the guilt had gripped his heart, after he's repented and turned to God in faith, amen, now he's looking back on it. And he said, "You know what I know now? Amen, I didn't know then what I know now. And the Lord was ready to save me." That is, He was willing, amen, to save me where I was. I'm glad today that God is willing, amen, to save you this morning. Amen, in spite of all you've done, in spite of, my friend, of what you have to offer and don't have to offer, the Lord is ready. He's willing today to save. Peter put it this way, "God is not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance." The Lord, my friend, is willing to save you. He's willing to meet you where you are. He's willing when you turn and put your faith in Him, you'll find that the Lord is ready to save. The Lord ready to save me means He was watching to save. It means he was willing to save. My friend, it means that he was wanting to save. I believe that my friend God was, amen, was rooting and cheering our Hezekiah to turn to God. Amen, the Lord was ready to save. We noted last week there in Luke 15 and the stories that the Lord gives that, my friend, there's a lost sheep, a lost silver, and a lost son, and how that in each case these things were lost, they were sought, and they were found, and how Jesus said that when that shepherd came back with that rescued sheep, he called all of his neighbors together, and they began to rejoice. And Jesus said, "But I tell you, nay, in the amen, there is great rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repents." Same with the lost silver and the coin. A woman finding and calling her neighbors together, and they rejoice over one little piece of money that was found. Why was it found? Why was it saved? Because she wanted it. She wanted to find it, and she wanted to save it. Amen. But we noted in the statements the Lord makes, and there's great rejoicing not by the angels, but in the presence of the angels. And my friend, God wants you to be saved today. If we could have a visible manifestation of God today in this very altar, he'd beckon to every sinner. Amen. He'd beckon to you, ma'am, come on and be saved. I want you to be saved. Amen. I long for you to be saved. And what you'll find after you're saved is that all along the Lord was ready to save you. So, but you don't know my background, but my friend, you don't know my Savior today. You say you don't know who you're preaching to, but I know who I'm preaching about. And Hezekiah said, when it was all done, the Lord was ready. Amen. Was ready to save me. He didn't have to get ready. We talk about and we pray for some of you that come in it and you've never been saved. We pray for you, and we'll make statements sometimes like, she's about ready to get saved. He's about ready to get saved. Just any day now, they're about ready to step out and walk me out. Can I say, when you get good and ready, you're going to find that he's been ready. He's always ready. He don't have to get ready. As the cast said, the Lord was ready to save me. And that's what we're preaching on this morning. Will y'all let me deal with it? Amen. I'm preaching on the Lord was ready to save me. Amen. I'm glad I can say like Hezekiah. Amen. When I got saved at 17, there's a lot of services I set up, heard the gospel, probably could have been saved, had a set up, paid attention, let God work in my life. And Brother Gerald, there's a lot of days and I walked out under conviction and knew what it was. And there's a lot of times that I should have been saved, but I wasn't ready. And I'm glad tonight that I called on the Lord. I found the help, and the Lord was ready to save me. Amen. He didn't send me away and say, amen, come back when I get ready. Oh no. For the foundation of the world, amen, the Lamb was slain. Amen. God was ready before man ever fell, before you ever committed your first sin, before you ever breathed your first breath. The Lord was ready to save. Amen. I'm glad that, Lord, listen today. We can't emphasize it enough. And if you'll get sick of your sin, if you'll get under old time Holy Ghost, amen, old Brother Phil Beck would say, Mount Sinai conviction, amen, and getting ready to be saved, and it's all said and done, you'll find that every day you've ever lived, the Lord has been ready to save you. Everything you've been through, every hurt in life you faced, Every graveyard you've walked through, every bad doctor's report you've ever got, amen, and you faced all that, amen, without God and in your sin, amen, headed to hell, amen, the Lord is sitting there all alone, ready to save you, ready to help you, and ready to change your life. Oh, just with me this morning, I got to hasten on, but all sinners need to understand that the Lord is ready to save. In this service, you'll find, amen, if you come to him, he's ready to save. Amen, I'm telling you today, no wonder Paul said today's the day of salvation, and now is the accepted time. Amen, because God is always ready to save. Notice with me the condition. The condition before Hezekiah's salvation. And we read his prayer that he makes in this. I don't have time to deal with every verse, but I think we can suffice out of verse 17 to deal with this. And this matter, the condition before his salvation. The Bible said, Hezekiah speaking now, he said, "Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption." He said in verse 18, "For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee, they that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth." Now Hezekiah gives you an awesome insight on his condition before the Lord has brought this salvation to his land. Notice with me, he was discontent in sin, and all this relates to his sin, and he found that he was discontent in sin. Notice what he said again, verse 17, behold for peace. He's saying there's a time in my sin under this great load of sickness, and I needed some peace, but in sin I'd been discontented. There was no peace to be found, there was no peace to be had, and I say that's exactly where sin against you today. It'll leave you without peace. It'll leave you discontented in life. It'll leave you looking and longing for more. That's why the druggie today has to get up this morning and my friend go beg to get enough money to go find something to give him another high today, because the peace he had last night's done more off. That's why the drunkard this morning, amen, will wake up and wonder, amen, what he did last night, who he done it with, how he got scars and how he's got bruises on his body, and he get up tonight and drink all over again, because sin leaves a man without peace. Amen, peace leaves a man empty on the inside. That's what Hezekiah is describing. Is that my friend in his sickness, there was no joy, there was no peace, there was no contentment in his life, amen, until he found the saving grace of God, amen. He was empty and longing for peace, and I say, dear friend, dear sinner friend, today, you've tried everything in this world, you've tried all the parties, you've tried all the booze, you've tried all the dope, you've tried all the immorality, you've tried to gain all the fame and the popularity. You've tried to be liked, but in your sin today, you're as empty, if you'd be honest, you're as empty as you've ever been. You've got no contentment. Amen. Life has robbed you of it. Amen. You've tried everything else. And as it can say, my condition before he came along and saved me, said I was discontent in sin. Notice what he said. He said, "Behold, for peace, I had great bitterness." Amen. You know what that means? That means he was despaired in sin. That means my friend life had been rough to him. And my friend, he knew what it was to hurt. He knew what it was to suffer. He knew what it was to face all the great bitternesses of life. And sin couldn't help him. And the way that he lived his life could not help him. Amen. All that he sought peace in, amen, not only left him void, but it left him, my friend, with great bitterness in his soul. And I say that's what sin does. And it's doing to our generation. We got a generation of angry people. And my friend, they've tried everything they know to try. Amen, they call it road rage. Amen, I think my wife's got a little bit of that. Amen, they call it road rage. Amen, you know all that is. All that anger and bitterness, amen, it's just a result of the sin nature we have on the inside. It won't make you a happy person, amen. It won't make you satisfied, but it'll leave you in great bitterness in your life. There are people today who are mad at the world. They're mad at everybody. They live life with a chip on their shoulder. Come on now. Amen. They live life, my friend, under a great load of bitterness, said, amen, mad at an ex-spouse, mad at their children, mad at their mamas and daddies, mad at those that have abused them, mad, my friend, that they've lost loved ones, mad at a church, mad at a preacher, that, and I say today, sin, that, amen, will leave you in despair, that, it'll leave you a bitter old sinner of this world. Amen. He was despaired in his sin. And we find he was discontent in his sin. But notice with me, he was detained in his sin. Notice how he words this in verse 17. Are y'all with me? I'm feeling some preaching coming on. He was detained in sin. Notice what he said. He said that he was in the pit of corruption. That implies that he's been in bondage. He's been in a hole he's not been able to get out of. They took the prophet Jeremiah one day and they threw him down in a pit. It was a form of a prison. It was a form of detainment. And Hezekiah said, the way and the shape I was in, for he came along and saved me, as it as down in a pit I was detained in my sin. Can I say today, amen, I hear sinners say, why do I do what I do? You do what you do because you're a sinner. Amen. They'll make statements like, well, I can quit drinking any old time I want. Then why don't you quit? I quit my sinning any old time I want. And why don't you stop? The reason you don't is you're enslaved to that sin. You're detained in sin. Amen. Sin tells you what to do, and you freely follow sin. And Hezekiah said, a shape I was in, the condition of my life, before he came along and rescued me and recovered me and delivered me and saved me, was that I was down in a pit of sin. It's kind of the same language that David used over in the Psalms. He said, I cried unto the Lord. I inclined unto the Lord and he heard my cry. And then he makes this statement. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. See, if you're here today and you've never been saved, you may not even realize it, but you're in a pit of sin. You're detained in sin. You are detained by the very sin nature that has been passed on to you down through Adam. And Hezekiah said, before he rescued me, before he saved me, amen, I was in a pit. David said it was a horrible pit. And I say, where I stand this morning looking back on what I was before I got saved, it was a horrible pit. It wasn't, amen, there was pleasure at times and for seasons in the sin of my life, of my young life. But Brother Gerald, can I say, amen, at the end of the day, I'd have to be honest, Seth. Amen, it never helped me one day. It never made me successful. Amen, I never found any happiness, Seth. Amen, it is a horrible pit. These old drunkards say, yeah, we're going to go out and get drunk and have a good time. Well, if, amen, waking up the next morning with puke all over your chest and bruises all over your eyeballs, come on now, if that's a good time, bless God, you can have it. Ain't nothing about that sounds fun to me. Are you listening to me? And if they'd be honest, Brother Dean, when they're all alone, amen, and there ain't nobody around and nobody's around, and they've not, my friend, suffocated the feeling of that emptiness that's on the inside with their substances. They'd have to be honest about it. It's a horrible way to live their life. Horrible. 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 He said, I was detained. I was in a pit. It is going to get better. Y'all hang on. Notice with me, he's defiled by sin. Notice what he called it. He called it a pit of corruption. That means decay and death and stink was all around him. But Tim, there was no tea parties going on in that pen. There was no, it was just a reminder that death is all around me. Amen. You listen to me. Amen. He's not in a pleasant place. But in his relationship with God, Brother Jerry, he said, I've been defiled by sin. And can I say today, that's exactly what sin will do to you. It'll lead you to corruption. I've seen sin. Are you listening to me today? I've seen beautiful young teenage girls. And my friend, they let sin get a hold of them. And they resisted the call of God to be saved in the day. There's some of the most ugly women in town. Amen. They've been defiled by sin. I've seen young men who were strapping and strolled, and my friend couldn't have lifted up the front end of a Volkswagen at their self, but because they lived their life without God, outside of grace. And one of the most weak, ugly looking men in town today, because they've been defiled by sin. There have been young people coming up who had all the potential in the world to be successful in the realms of business and successful in this world. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. We need more, amen, to be successful and be good businessmen. And I've seen them same young people, amen, who could have given you every math equation and every business formula, and it fried their brain, amen, out in this world and in sin. They're defiled today by the sin that's on the inside. Would you agree with me? If you've never been saved, you ain't in a good place. And by the way, you can dress it up. You can wear your designer name brand clothes and strut around, amen, and dress it up, but you're as bad a shape as what I preached this morning. You can throw a Bible up under your arm, come to church, amen, a few times a year, amen, and dress it up and feel real good about it. And the fact of the matter, every sinner's as bad as I preach today. Whether you've ever drunk a beer or not, smoked a joint or not, put a needle in your arm or not, ever took the name of the Lord in vain or not, it's a matter of something that is on the inside. The condition before his salvation. But notice with me in verse, I want to look at verse 17 again, if the Lord will help me. Watch this now. He said, behold, for peace, I had great bitterness. He talks about a pit of corruption. Amen. Notice with me this morning, you say, preacher, he's a picture of a sinner completely and utterly lost in sin with no hope or help outside the Lord. Why would the Lord ever do anything for somebody in such bad shape? As I'd be honest with you, I wouldn't have much to do with that crowd in and of myself. Amen. And God's had to knock some Pharisee out of me, because since I've been saved, there's some of that crowd I wouldn't have had nothing to do with. Why in the world could he be saved? Why could he say, I've been recovered, I've been delivered, I've been saved by a sovereign God? It's in verse 17. In love thou hast delivered my soul. Here's Hezekiah. He's done come through all of this. He's on the other side and he looks back. He says, glory to God. The Lord was ready to save me. Maybe somebody said, how have you been saved? And he said, I don't understand all of it. All I know is that in compassion, the compassion in his salvation. Amen. He said, in love he has delivered my soul. And I say today, that love makes the difference. The love of God makes the difference. And as bad a shape as we're born in, and as bad a shape as we lived in, amen, I'm telling you today, we're not here with a suit and a tie on in the pulpit and singing in the choir and a member of the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle today because of our labor, because of his love that has made the difference. Notice, and he said it was love that delivered his soul. Say, how in the world can you dare stand and claim to be saved today? All I can tell you is, He sure did love me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God, the mess I was headed to making out of my life. Amen. God looked down and God seen it all, seen all that dirt, seen the path I was on and all I was yet to do. And my friend, all I can say but that is He sure must have loved me a lot. Amen. To come to where, amen, a big old zero and a big old nobody like me was. Amen. To come by my way means He sure did love me. Ought to be in hell today. And I ain't trying to make you mad, but you ought to be in hell today. You ought to be, at the very least, living on the very edge of hell in your sin, miserable and lost as a ball in high weeds. Thank God He loves you. He loved you one day. He loved you in all your sin. He loved you in all your defilement. He loved you in all your detainment. He loved you in all your despair. He loved you in all your bitterness. He just loved you just like you was. He loves you today. You say, why does He love me? Don't ask me questions I can't answer. I don't know why He loves you. He just loves you. See, we got a way in our generation, our society, we only love people that we count and deem lovable. Fact of the matter is, Sister Portia, they wasn't a one of us lovable when He loved us. Hallelujah. He'd be God enough today. He'd still be God. Are you listening to me? He'd still be God if He brought heaven's dump truck by, loaded us all in it, and carried us to the edge of hell and throwed us in this morning. He'd go right on being God. He'd go right on being Lord. But you know why He don't do that today? Because in love He delivered my soul. I'm not the man that I used to be. I've been set free. I'm not in bondage anymore. I'm not living under the great load of bitterness anymore. Thank God I have been set free. In love He delivered my soul. That's why the youth choir could get up there and say, thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. Amen. Not the man not carrying the same load around. But thank God one day came and He broke the chains of sin, that which had me detained. He opened the bars. Amen. Are y'all with me today? I'm talking about He did it not because He had to, but because He loved you and He loved me. In love, Hezekiah said, He delivered my soul. We got a crowd in our generation. They get mad at hellfire and damnation preaching. You got these bunch of liberals like, amen. Oh, Joe Osteen. Get on TV and say, well, I'm not for hellfire and brimstone preaching. My friend, I didn't like it till I got saved. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Them old men of God to get up and tell me how wicked I was born. Tell me how sinful and wicked my heart was and my soul was. Amen. One day the Holy Ghost turned the light on and made it real. Amen. And showed me that He loved me. I was glad somebody told me the truth. I was glad to receive somebody that in love could deliver my soul. He loves you today, but you're going to have to accept the fact that you're unlovely and unlovable, but by a thrice holy sovereign God. In love, He delivered my soul. But watch this. In love, what did Hezekiah say? He said, for Thou hast cast all my sin behind your back. Love not only delivered his soul, watch it now. Y'all get out of Gerald's way, he's about ready to run. In love, He deleted my sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hezekiah said, it's love, the love of God that caused His hand to reach down and pull me up and deliver my soul. Thank God that ain't all he did. He set me up there on a solid rock. He took all the load of sin, all the stain of sin, all the guilt of sin, all the laugh of sin. And he said he took it off me and he throwed it behind his back. So what's that mean? That means God has turned his back on everything you used to be. Amen. This old flesh every now and then gets to thinking about what it used to be and how many times I rejected grace. And there's others here that done things before you got saved and that you've wished a million times over you'd have never done and that you can go back and redo in your life. Amen. An old devil in the world, an old friends that bring it back up. Thank God I'm glad this morning when it comes to God and God in love has deleted our sin. Amen. Hallelujah. I had one of the men of our church call me this week who had run into somebody, amen, out on visitation, and I'd asked him how did he go, and I hope he don't get mad. I think it fits right here maybe to help him. And he said, "Preacher, she knew everything that I used to be. And if you ever go over there, don't let them change your mind about how you think about me." And I said, "Well, I'll never think any lower of you, and I do already." Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. I said, "Hey, brother, amen. She may remember it all, and the old crowd may remember it all. And as far as God is concerned, it's been wiped out." God said, Ezekiel said, he throwed it behind his back. Amen. He's turned his back on all that. It does not stare God in the face this morning. Amen. There's a young man died in a bulldozer accident several years ago when I was in North Carolina. And I got a call from one of the men in church. He said, "That's some of my family and a lot of my cousins and folks going to be over there. He said, would you ride over and try to help me talk to them? Let's pray with them." I said, "Be glad to." We got over there. We'd been there for a while. One of his big old redneck cousins come up. And this man introduced me as his pastor, and we got to talking to him. And when he found out I was this man's pastor, he started saying, "Well, I know him from years ago." And all he could do is tell me about how much beer he drank, how many parties he had gone to. And I let him go on for about 3 or 4 minutes. I had my fill of that. I said, "Hey, bub. Amen, I love you, but that ain't the Ronnie I know. The Ronnie I know, I ain't ever seen with a bottle in his hand. All I know is one that's got a Bible in his hand. I don't know one that runs off to parties and dance halls and honky-tonks. All I know is one that comes to church and sings in the choir and magnifies the grace of God." Amen, I'm telling you today, it's the love of God that makes the difference in deleting sin out of our life. Ain't you glad that God don't hold our sins against us? The love of God. So we have the condition before his salvation. We have the compassion in his salvation. Now I'm done. Notice the celebration after his salvation. Hezekiah said, "Hey, the dead ain't going to praise God." That's why some of y'all don't ever praise God. You're dead. Amen. The dead don't praise the Lord. Is that what he said? He said, "For the grave cannot praise thee." Watch it now. Death cannot celebrate thee. You know what Hezekiah is saying? "You've done so much for me. I'm compelled that I would celebrate. I'm compelled to give praise. I'm compelled here to celebrate." It's a word used to describe what he desires to do in light of God touching and saving him. You say, "Why y'all raise your hand? And why do y'all say amen? And why are you so worked up today?" I'm just celebrating. Amen. I'm just celebrating. You say you'd had to see me way back then and all God has done for me. Amen. Just leave me alone. I'm a celebrating today over what God has done for me. Amen. You let old sweepstakes, ma'am. What's his name? Amen. Them sweepstakes people. Amen. Come show up one of them big old fat checks. Amen. Gerald said he ain't never had one. I ain't looking for one. I've seen them people show up. You know what them people do? They scream. They'll run around. They'll jump up and down. They'll throw their hands up, run around the yard. No, that's in their bathrobe. Somebody say amen right there. What are they doing? They're celebrating. Somebody showed up with something that had a lot of value to them. Amen. About 18 years ago, be 18 years ago here in a few weeks. Amen. The great God of glory showed up with a whole bunch of grace. Hallelujah. So if I get a little worked up and get a little loud and get a little emotional about it all, leave me alone. I'm just celebrating what I got way back then. He said, I'm going to celebrate by shouting. That's what that word praise means. It means to get loud about it. Amen. And shame on them, but Tennessee's starting their football season today. Shame on them doing that on Sunday. Somebody ought to say amen right there. And shame on you if you ain't in church tonight, staying home watching that. That ain't in the notes, but I just thought I'd throw it out there. Shame on you. Shame on Butch. Shame on Smokey. Amen. And shame on Rocky Top. Shame on them. Y'all might as well look up in here. I know where I am. Here in a little while, all them bunch of orange painted up, orange suit wearing, checkered, dress their youngins up in orange checkerboard overalls. They gonna be rolling in the Neyland Stadium. Son, they'll be scoring touchdowns and moving the ball up and down the field. You don't think they're crazy for jumping up and cheering. You don't tell them, you just need to calm it down. Just calm it down. You know what they're doing? They're celebrating. Amen. If they're on the winning team, they're going to celebrate. They're going to celebrate before the game. They're going to celebrate during the game. They're going to celebrate after the game. They'll be celebrating tomorrow. Yeah. They'll be celebrating all the way to the next game. Why? Because there's something in them that's excited about being a part of the winning team. Yeah. And I say today, I'm on the winning team. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Not the orange-covered crowd, but the blood-washed crowd. I'm on the winning team, and I want to shout it out and celebrate what God did for me. Celebrate. He said, I'm going to celebrate by shouting. I'm going to celebrate by sharing. He said, the Father's going to make it known to His children. You know what He said there, Brother William? He said, I'm going to give a testimony about it. That means when the preacher says, anybody got a word, you don't hear crickets.
Right.
Anybody want to testify about the good grace of God? Chirpy, chirpy, chirpy. Hear a gnat burp. Hezekiah said, I'm going to make it known. I'm going to share it. I'm going to make sure the generation following me knows something about what God has done in my life. And I say we ought to celebrate by sharing. And then he said, I'm going to celebrate by singing. He said, we're going to sing about this all the days of my life. All the days of our life, we're just going to sing them good songs. Not them Willie Nelson songs. Them good Zion songs. Not them Elvis songs, them good Zion songs. Not that old honky-tonk singing, but we're just gonna sing about He came by. He met us where we were. When He had done pronounced death against us, we turned to Him and He met us where we were. He was ready to save me, so I'm just gonna sing about it. Amen. Hallelujah. I give you more out of this. I'm done. Candy, come on. The Lord was ready to save me. I want to ask you, just look this way. Just look this way for a minute. She's a-coming. Just going to start playing. We're going to give invitation. What invitation means is we're inviting you to come and respond. Not to what I've said, but what God spoke to your heart about. I want to ask you a very serious question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you ever been born again? Has your life ever been changed? Have you ever been rescued, delivered, set free from sin? If you haven't, your invitation this morning is to come. Let us take the Word of God. We'll talk to you. We'll pray with you. It's God that does the saving. We'll do anything we can to help you, but at the end of the day, you have to turn your eyes to Him. And we invite you to do that this morning. If you are saved, you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved." When's the last time you just got alone and said, "Lord, I want to thank you. I don't want to ask you to pay a bill. I don't want to ask you for something else in life. I just want to thank you that you saved me and that when I came to be saved, you was ready and you was willing and watching and wanting to save me." This altar's open. Let's stand together. Father, we love you. Lord, in prayer, we come to you one more time asking that you'd help us. Thank you, Lord, that there ain't a sinner here today that you're not ready to save. There's nobody here this morning that if they turn to you and come to you, you wouldn't do something great in saving them. Lord, some of us have been saved, and Lord, I pray that you'd help us to celebrate, be excited about it, be stirred about it. Lord, I ask you today, would you please move in this invitation now. We've done our part. We've sung all our songs. We've preached everything you've told us to preach. Lord, I pray you've been having your will and way thus far, but Lord, especially now, draw sinners, save somebody today in Jesus' name. No one's looking around. We'll have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. There's several that have come, several saved folk on the altar this morning. If you need to come, would you come? I want to ask a very serious question now. Is there anybody here this morning? You'd say just by uplifting your hand, "Preacher Jeff, Pastor Jeff, please pray for me. I have never been saved. I'm a good old boy, a good old girl, but I realize, God bless you, ma'am. Would there be another preacher? I'm part of the good old folks. Thank you, young lady. I prayed for you this morning. Would there be another? Say, Pastor, please pray for me. I've never been saved. I don't know what it is to have my soul delivered. I don't know what it is to have my sins deleted. All life has given me is bitterness, discontentment, despair, detainment, defilement. Pastor, please pray for me. Is there another one this morning? Is there another one this morning? Preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved." Father, this morning I pray for these that have raised their hand. You know where they are. Lord, we know. We know because we've been where they sit. The Lord's ready to save them. I pray you draw them even this morning. Draw them, Lord, in Jesus' name. I want to give you an invitation now. If you raised your hand, won't you come? Come the Lord. Come for salvation. If He spoke to your heart, showed you your need, would you step out where you are? Would you step out this morning? Come be saved. Come be saved. You can come right now. Come right now. Ma'am, you can come right now today. You say, "Preacher, I'm nearly ready." Well, He is ready. He is ready. What you waiting on? What you waiting on? What's your excuse today? She's going to play one more verse. This will be it. Oh, I wish you'd come, friend. I promise you the Lord wishes you come. He wants you to come.
He's cheering for you today to come on. Come on, that's it. Keep playing, sister. Kate, get your Bible. Amen. See Miss Katie right there. Hallelujah. There's one. Would you mind the Lord? We're begging you today. Begging you this morning. Lord makes a difference. Hallelujah. Saints of God, you pray for this young lady. Anybody else need to come this morning? Listen, nobody's looking around. How many saved, uplifted hand, Pastor? I know I'm saved. Be honest about it. Don't raise your hand. Just leave it there for a minute. Pastor, I know I'm saved. I can raise my hand. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm born again. Just leave it there for just a moment. I know I'm saved. God bless you. Thank you for being honest. You can put your hand out. You can put your hand down. Hey, if you couldn't raise your hand, won't you come? Some of you's tore up this morning. You tore up this morning. You've tried everything else. And I'm not telling you to try Jesus like you've tried everything else. I'm asking you to put your faith in Him. I'm asking you to turn to Him. I'm asking you, won't you let Him make the difference in your life? Hezekiah didn't just do better. He got saved. He got saved. He didn't turn a new leaf. He got saved. Anybody else? To His name.